Welcome to the GeoMob Podcast, where we discuss geo-innovation in any and all forms, whether for fun or profit.
Hello and welcome back to the GeoMob Podcast. Today we're talking to our guest Keiko about something I think many of you will have come across. We'll be discussing a nifty piece of software developed by Keiko and others for viewing TIFFs. And maybe some other data formats as well. We'll get into that. So to find out how the project came about and what's going to happen next, let's catch up with Keiko. Hi there, Keiko. How are you doing?
Good, thank you. How are you, Alistair?
Yeah, I'm good. I'm really looking forward to this. This is one of those ones where something happened on the internet and I thought, you know what, we've got to talk to someone about this because this is cool. This is where the geospatial industry really gets into its own, where people start seeing cool tech and really sort of getting on board with it all. So maybe we can do the traditional thing and you can introduce yourself to the listeners, sort of where have you been and sort of what are you doing now?
Oh, sure. I have a short version. I'm currently a research scientist at NASA Ames Research Center in Silicon Valley, California. I originally trained as a terrestrial remote sensing scientist, so I went through a classic Earth observation route in terms of education, working with satellite imagery and trying to understand vegetation functioning and land surface dynamics. Well, now at NASA, my focus is more about figuring out how the satellite data and modeling expertise at NASA can actually be made usable and meaningful for people in the real world. So I'm still a remote sensing scientist, but the focus is less on a single analysis and more on data product collaborations and partnerships.
Okay. Before we get into the main body of the podcast, I'm just going to pick that one apart a little bit. So what sorts of things does that mean day to day? Are you creating sort of data in new data formats so people can use it, like I don't know, over the cloud or download it or whatever? Or are you trying to answer like application questions?
Yeah, so it's different from what we are going to talk about. That's really not the main task at NASA. I work primarily in the biodiversity thematic area. Cool. And looking at the sort of relevant satellite imagery coming from NASA and how we can make it even more relevant and easier to access to researchers in the biodiversity community. So it's more sort of more closer to creating science product out of the satellite imagery and what it should be and who we should talk to, how we can do it better.
Oh, cool. Okay. So last year, I think it was, I had a couple of conversations on the podcast with people who were trying to do a similar thing around sort of biodiversity net gain. And like the calculations for those generally, it would be much improved if spatial data was used. And they were trying to find ways of sort of people who are planners rather than geospatial experts can get hold of the data and use it. So it sounds very similar. Cool. Anyway, so the real reason that we're here talking today is about this piece of software that you've created. So first up, is it TIFF Viewer or View TIFF? I've seen both.
Yeah, and I used both of them, which probably contribute more confusion. It is View TIFF because it's the command you type in a terminal, but I actually initially named it TIFF Viewer, like as a tool, but then right. I realized I need to change it to Unix convention where action comes first, which makes sense when you type, you know, it's view TIFF and then file name, and that's right. All you need to do. So it's view TIFF.
Oh, that makes me even happier now that it's following Unix conventions. That's really cool. cool. So maybe you could explain a little bit about what it does. Because on the surface, it seems very simple, but I've been playing around with it and it can do quite a lot of things.
Oh, I'm glad you played around it. Yeah, so the main purpose of this tool is it let you see the TIFF file really easily and quickly without using any software like QGIS or typing a few lines of code. So it's about, you know, being able to look at TIFF file quickly and easily. And now it's also expand to not just TIFF, but NetCDF and HDF and even geofile databases when it contains raster file.
Okay.
Yeah.
So it's primarily raster data that you're interested in. Well, I guess, given your job, yeah.
in this particular tool, and I also created the one that works with the vector file. So there's a vector counterpart of VueTIFF, which is VueGeom. Try to make it self-explanatory in the name. So, you know, it's basically the raster version is VueTIFF and the vector version is VueGeom.
Oh, excellent. Cool. So everybody listening can go off and load it up and have a bit of a play, whether they're raster people or vector people.
Yeah.
So what was the driver behind creating the tool? Did you just get fed up and wanted to manage to get into the data quicker?
Yeah, basically that's it. But what happened was when I joined NASA Ames a little more than a year ago, I realized I would have to use the terminal window a lot. And that's not what I used to use as a main tool. This is because of the supercomputing environment at Ames. The primary window to access to the supercomputing is the terminal. So at first, I was very frustrated, but over time, I started to like it. It's very powerful and efficient. At the same time, it's still quite inflexible. I mean, the terminal is great at what it can do within the command line world, but it doesn't really extend beyond that. So especially in our line of work, like Earth observation world, our bread and butter is, or I like to say rice and seaweed, is raster and vector, right? And there's no simple way to look at those files from terminal or actually in any other way. When you think of it, like we are so used to looking at photos we take on our phone and we just swipe right and left to see the next photos, right? You don't start Photoshop to just look at the photo. Yeah. But in geospatial world, that's basically what we have to do. We have to start a very large software to just look at what this is. So that was really frustrating to me. And that's one of the main reason I wanted to make this. But the breakthrough happened when I went to this meeting in Pasadena, California. This is one of the NASA's meeting on echo stress. So echo stress is NASA's infrared thermal sensor instrument on ISS, International Space Station. It measures like land surface temperature and water stress, but it is on ISS, International Space Station. And what that means is if you have used echo stress imagery, you may have encountered this problem, but geolocation gets a little bit tricky. We know exactly when the image was taken, but because it is hosted on ISS, the location or geometry or pointing are more complex than fixed orbit like Landsat. So oftentimes the users have to correct those, and there was no easy way to do it. But at the meeting, the scientist from JPL, Jake Longnecker, he demoed this tool he developed with his colleagues that enable users to do the geolocation correction over echo stress. So it's an amazing tool. But what I was really taken was that he was showing this tool and this workflow looked like he was showing the raster from this terminal workflow. And I was like, I didn't know we can do that. And if we can do that, why there's no simple, like, general purpose tool that enables that? So basically those two things come together. I had this, you know, problem to solve, and I found out this, there's a solution to it. So that's when it unlocked the TIFF viewer.
Okay. That's really cool. I like the fact that you saw something and that triggered something to then get you to go and sort of scratch the itch and fix it, sort of thing. That's really, really nice way of approaching that problem. So I have questions. And when I was playing around with it earlier, I downloaded the demo data, and I also had some of my data locally. So I've only used it locally, and I can understand, I think, how it could work locally. But can it also stream data? So if I was on, well, so I use the Copernicus data space ecosystem quite a bit, which is probably the equivalent of what you're doing at NASA with logging onto a server. And I do my processing there, and I get quite a lot of netcdf files coming out, and I'd really like to be able to see them, or at least what's in them, before having them download or whatever I do with them. So is this something I could do from there?
Well, not yet, but there was a discussion on that. Somebody commented on the LinkedIn post that I used to basically let everyone know that this is available, and somebody did mention about that. And, you know, basically I said there is no functionality to that yet, but I welcome pull requests. So in the future, maybe.
Yeah. I also realize I've done that thing where something really cool comes along and the first person to see it goes like, oh, wouldn't it be cool if it did this as well? Which is, so sorry for that.
No. I think that's how we can make it better and expand it. And in fact, like immediately after I released it, I got a few pull requests, and that's how I started to expand to other file formats and started to take off.
That's really cool. Can you maybe talk a little bit about the choice of tools that you had? So I know that it uses Qt or Qt in order to create the window within which you see the data. Did your idea for that come from using QGIS or from somewhere else? How did you decide what to do?
Yeah, I didn't have to look around or shop around. It was the tool Jake used in his GeoViewer, tool for EchoStress. So that's basically the key function that I took from his tool. And using it, it's a high-performance graphic framework that converts the array to this cute object, and that allows you to, you know, have all interactive, you know, viewing, zooming and panning. But that's all done in that cute or PySide 6 in Python version of it.
Yeah. And it's really, one of the things I noticed is that it's really responsive as well. Like the zooming in and out, and you can change the contrast, I noticed, and various other things. It's like really does it quickly. There's no lag.
It does. But I was hoping we can maybe make it even quicker in the future, because initially it does take a little bit of time, because it is a full desktop application, actually, you know. The way I have made this makes you think this is a terminal window, but actually terminal is just an entry point. It launches the full application. So,
okay. That's good to know. So the way I came across this was I was just sort of clicking my way through LinkedIn like you do, and suddenly there was this whole conversation going on your LinkedIn profile about this. So maybe you could tell us a bit more about the release of the tool and the subsequent uptake by various users. Have you been surprised by the fact that other people wanted to become involved in the development, and that, you know, people have ideas? You've already alluded to that as well.
Yeah, definitely. It was a really big and nice surprise. So when I had this idea, I talked to Jake and I explained to him this is what I'm thinking to make, and he was very excited and supportive. So I decided to go ahead and release this. And I remember perhaps the first LinkedIn post to tell everyone that I have released this, I literally started the first sentence by saying, "Don't you wish you could just see a TIFF file?" And it was really, the reaction was phenomenal. Within the first week, 10,000 downloads.
What? That's amazing.
Yeah, I was blown away, actually. Yeah. And also I confirmed that I wasn't alone feeling this need or frustration about, you know, the file formats and comes to geospatial world. Yeah, and after that, immediately I got a few pull requests, and I started to work on that with them. So that's been really fun, and it's very motivating too. When I got that much reaction, I want to make it better, and I want to include more. And what was surprising was perhaps like when I included NetCDF with the collaborator, I think his name was Harsh, Harsh Shinde. He and I worked together to get NetCDF involved in this ViewTIFF, and that community seems to have really liked this tool, which wasn't my initial target. I was simply looking at GeoTIFF, but it actually shouldn't come as a surprise because NetCDF users don't have a lot of alternatives. Maybe Panoply is the only one that I know of. Other than that, you have to code to see what's inside.
Yeah. And even then, it's just messy, I find, when I'm trying. So I've been working on a couple of projects recently, like over the last 12 months or so, both of which have involved NetCDF. Not a huge amount of NetCDF stuff, but enough that it was frustrating that if you wanted to just check something, you had to download it and then chuck it into QGIS and then work out which of the various different layers you wanted and all that. So to be able to have something where you can just do a command line and parameterize it, and it sounds amazing.
Yeah, it was actually not easy, especially the lat long part. You know, it works with certain sample files, but then if you change this file, map started to flip. So it actually took a lot of work to make that work, and hopefully it works with most of the cases, I hope.
Yeah. And so are there any limitations that you've found maybe in terms of some of the data file sizes? I'm guessing that some of the stuff you get to play around with at NASA is going to be fairly chunky.
So the main purpose here is like to be able to see the files quickly. So it's more like a preview. If you really need to like interrogate and examine, this is not for it. You need to use a different tool to do so. The purpose is to quickly look at it and make sure this is what, you know, you have downloaded, or you're not doing something silly in the workflow. So I immediately included this option to downscale the file. So if the file is very big, like 20 million pixels, then it will not immediately try to load. It will ask you, do you want to downsample? And so you can use this function. I named it scale. So if you do scale and then at the number 2, then it will downsample by a factor of 2. So that makes it really faster to see what the image looks like.
And is it using something like GDAL in the background to do that? Or?
It is. Basically everything is GDAL at the end of the day. But for raster file, for GeoTIFF, it's a bilinear is what I set it as. NetCDF, though, it's more like nearest neighbor, not bilinear. Yeah.
is there a reason for that? I don't know enough about the data formats to...
My take is that the GeoTIFF is more typically the image, like satellite images. So yeah. You want to kind of preserve the smoothness, or it basically you want to see the same image with coarse resolution. So okay. I think bilinear works well. But when it comes to NetCDF, data is usually like it's known image data, right? It's like temperature, pressure, humidity. So you don't want to create any misleading data, so you want to preserve what was originally there as data. It's more sort of grid driven and known image, so I'm basically doing sub sampling, like slicing the data and then try to keep it as much as possible. So the nearest neighbor, I thought, would makes more sense with the CDF.
Yeah, yeah. So you also mentioned right at the beginning of the podcast, I think, that it does geodatabases with rasters in them. Is that correct?
Yeah. So that was a pull request from Peter.
Cool. Okay.
Yeah. Okay. Peter Van de Porten, and he happened to be a personal friend of mine, but he contacted me through LinkedIn, and he did the pull request on GitHub. It was very official. he uses this Esri's geo. I've never used it actually personally. So file
geo. I've not used it for raster, but yeah, that's interesting.
Yeah, so I had to learn a little bit, and Peter had to explain to me why this is important, and a lot of people are actually using them. It's Esri's proprietary data format, so there's a limitation as to how much we can do about it. But when there is a raster file, I found a way to get the metadata and then being able to display.
Oh, cool. That's very neat. So do you have plans for further development and future releases? 1,000 new formats.
Yeah, well, I will keep improving it for my own, need, and also if there's a request from others. But I really want this to start taking on its own life, like based on the community need, and start to have function that I never thought of or I never used. I think that's the best case scenario, but I think in the meantime, I think I will continue to improve as much as I can for what I use it for mainly.
Okay, yeah. I can well imagine that with some of the really big files, like the cloud native files that are coming out, that potentially, unless there are other tools that already do this and I'm not aware of them, but potentially it could be really handy to have something like this where you can just go, okay, I'm interested in this bit of Finland and I want to see all the houses or whatever, and it just sucks it into your vector viewer, or I want to see all the snow for a given part of Scotland or whatever, and it just loads it directly in through this.
Yeah, I think there's so many directions it can go. I think the balance here is like how far you want to go with this tool, because from one point you probably want to just use a different tool that was momentful for those. So I think sort of identity of this tool becomes important. I want to keep it light and lean, but I do want it to keep expanding too.
Yeah, because it doesn't pull in too much when you install it. It's just pulling in a few things, and it is.
Yeah, it's very lean.
Yeah, no, that's very cool. Cool. It's been brilliant talking to you. I love these sort of dives into sort of really cool niche projects that people have, and understanding what the drivers were and who's using it and that sort of thing. If the listeners want to know more, how can they get in touch with you? Or NASA, I guess, as well.
Well, LinkedIn is a main social media platform I use now, so that's a good place to get connected. But if you have like issues or pull requests, GitHub is something I would monitor. So, yeah. GitHub or LinkedIn would be great.
That'd be brilliant. Well, thank you very much for coming on the podcast and telling us about this. Hopefully a second tranche of 10,000 users will now be going over and downloading it and using it. But no, it's really cool to be able to talk through the development of a tool. It's very rare that like tools that are sort of put out there are talked about right at the beginning in terms of sort of the different choices that were made in terms of its design and stuff like that. So it's, yeah, it's been really interesting. Thank you very much for coming on.
Thank you so much for having me.
Thanks for joining us today on the GeoMob podcast. We hope you enjoyed the discussion. You can get the show notes over on the website, which is at thegeomob.com. And while you're there, you can sign up for our monthly newsletter and find links to our accounts on Mastodon and LinkedIn so that you can stay up to date on all our upcoming events. We hope to see you at an event soon.